a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning, everyone. Sorry for the delay. When people are out doing bills, you run short on committees. Want to welcome you to Senate Health and Human Services. Just a reminder, if you have your cell phones on, to please turn them off. We have our pages here. If you want to come up and identify yourself, your name and where you're from, be sure you push the button. Thank you. And again, thank you for the pages. And I see we have some students here, and I'm just going to ask if the teacher's present here, who are the students and where they're from? Just stand up and say, where you're from, what school? Do we have anybody?
Scotland.
We have Scotland here. Welcome. Any place else?
We are from Howard.
Howard. Welcome to the students. Any other schools? Well, thank you for coming to Health and Human Services. I think you're going to hear some interesting bills this morning. With that, I will also remind, if you're going to provide testimony, you need to sign in. With that, I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Bradford.
Here.
Holeen.
Here.
Krebs. Rampelberg. Schleckaway.
Here.
Kraus.
Here.
Hunhoff.
Here. We do have a quorum present. I would ask for entertain a motion for approval of the minutes of the last meeting.
Moved
by Senator Holeen, seconded by Senator Kraus. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you. With that, just a little bit of change in order here. We're going to start with House Bill 1171, then we will go to 1263, and then we'll do 1190. So with that, for House Bill 1171, establish a board to regulate certain emerging complementary health professionals with no current state regulatory board. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Scott Munsterman, Representative of District 7. I have before you House Bill 1171. Just a very brief introduction to the bill. The bill is all about creating a separate licensing board for emerging complementary health professionals. Since there are such a small group of those professionals that have come to the legislature in the past unable to be licensed because they didn't have a home or a licensing board home, if you will, this would actually create that. Now, since the introduction of the bill, we've had a lot of different activity and questions from that complementary health care community. And so I'm asking the committee at this point to allow me to hit the pause button, and I would bring this bill back to your committee next year and let you have the first bite out of the apple in that regard. And so with that, Madam Chair, I'll just rest my case, and I'm at your mercy.
Thank you very much. Senator Schleckaway.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Munsterman. At this time, I would make a motion to table House Bill 1171.
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved by Senator Schleckaway, seconded by Senator Kraus, to table House Bill 1171. That's a non-debatable motion. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bradford.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Krebs. Rampelberg.
Aye.
Schleckaway.
Aye.
Kraus.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye. Motion carried. House Bill 1171 is tabled. Thank you, Representative Musterman. With that, we will now move to the bottom of the line and continue our hearing on House Bill 1263, and that is to provide for mandatory HIV testing for any person convicted of prostitution or solicitation of prostitution and to provide for appropriate utilization of the test results. I'm going to ask, and if you were not here at our last hearing, there were some questions to understand what the process is when someone is reported to have HIV. And I asked the Department of Health, and they're not taking a position. They're just at my request so we can understand if someone is referred to them that's HIV positive. If you could just tell us what the process is, and I'm going to welcome Madam Secretary. I don't think the light's on.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Donnie Hollingsworth, and I'm the Secretary of Health. As the Chair said, she just asked me to explain our process, how it works when someone is identified with HIV in South Dakota. And there are state law and administrative rules that require healthcare providers, hospitals, physicians, laboratories, to report communicable diseases to the department. Of course, HIV is one of those diseases that is reported to the department. And then when an HIV case is reported to the department, our staff follow up with the person who has tested positive. And we interview the person. Often in pairs, our staff go when it's a confirmatory test that's the person is positive. We go and visit with the person who has HIV. And we talk to them not to as a substitute for medical care that they are already receiving from a physician, but we talk to them about the disease transmission and prevention of disease. We interview them about their sex partners. We talk to them if they were sharing needles, people that they might be sharing needles with, and we ask for the names of those partners. They aren't required to give us those names, but our staff have a very good rapport and they're very good at what they do. And they are very confidential about that. That's something that they take very, very seriously. Last year in 2011, there were 21 people that were tested positive for HIV and reported to the department in South Dakota. That was kind of a low year. Average, it's about 30. The year before, it was 35. But in 2011, there were 21. So that process, we went to every person who tested positive. Then we solicit the names from them. And then we follow up with those names, those contacts. But when we go to those contacts, we never divulge who we got their name from. Now, in many instances, they probably can figure that out, but the department never shares that. So we follow up with the contacts, and the process starts over again, and we suggest very strongly that they be tested for HIV. We refer them for medical care, sometimes for substance abuse treatment and mental health counseling also.
Great. Thank you very much for that explanation. With that, we're going to continue with proponent testimony, and Representative Dilstra, I believe you have an amendment for us. There you go.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have an amendment. I believe it's been distributed to the committee. It's Amendment 1263JB, and I wish to move it at this time.
Thank you. Do you have any comments on that? On the amendment?
No, I don't.
Okay. I will respond that I had asked in our discussion and why I brought the Department of Health. I wanted to assure that those petitioners, as you listen to the process, if you looked at the bill, that in the bill it says that an individual that may have had contact with the prostitute can petition the court to get the results of that test to find out if they have been exposed to HIV. And what this amendment does, it assures that confidentiality. It refers back to what we have in another statute that protects individuals under the law, that information wouldn't be released and as you petition. So that was the reason for the amendment. Are there any other proponents that would speak to the bill or the amendment? Any other proponents? Okay, are there any opponents to House Bill 1263? Any opponents? Okay, seeing none, I will close this hearing to public testimony and for discussion and or action. We do have the amendment. Senator Kress.
I move Amendment 1263JB.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Krause, second by Senator Helene, to do pass on Amendment 1263JB. Any discussions on that motion? Okay, the motion before you is approve the Amendment 1263JB. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bradford.
Aye.
Helene.
Aye.
Krebs. Rampelberg.
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Kraus?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. Now before you is House Bill 1263 as amended. Senator Rampelberg.
Are you voting for a motion?
Yes.
Senator Matt, thank you, Madam Chair. I move to pass on House Bill
1263. Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Senator Rampelberg on House Bill 1263 as amended, seconded by Senator Krause. Any discussion on that motion?
Let me just speak, if you don't mind, Madam
Chair. Go ahead, Senator.
You know, I was concerned about this, and I really appreciate the Chair asking for this amendment. It makes a lot of sense. I also appreciate the good representative for bringing this to us today. You know, there's a part of me that kind of feels that perhaps we're kind of imposing upon the quote, personal rights of people and insisting upon this for those that are convicted. And yet I think, on the other hand, the greater good of the community overweighs the individual. So I'll be in support of the motion. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we will vote on House Bill 1263 as amended. Those in favor signify saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bradford.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Krebs. Rampelberg.
Aye.
Schleckaway.
Aye.
Krause.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you, and thank you, Representative Dielstra, for doing the amendment.
Thank you.
With that, we will move to House Bill 1190, which requires legislative approval before a health insurance exchange is created or implemented. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Dan Lederman, District 16. I rise in support of House Bill 1190 as the prime sponsor from the Senate. I believe that six other states currently have the health care exchange, have adopted it through the legislature. And I think that for us to maintain some control over what is happening with health care reform, that it's important for the legislature to maintain that control. And with that, I will stand down and I will be available for questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents to House Bill 1190? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Thank you, and members of the board. I am in support of House Bill 1190. Basically, it's a very simple bill. All it does is...
I'm just going to stop you. Did you identify yourself?
I did not.
Thank you.
Sorry, thank you. Laura Hubble, District 11 Representative. What the purpose of this bill is just to keep this in legislative authority and control. There are a couple of ways that a healthcare exchange can actually get its... birth, actually, in that order is triggered to become operational, and that is by executive order or department declaration or legislative control. And we had a bill just like this that I want to come through again if we are to start an exchange. In 2007, it was House Bill 1166. And what that did, it basically gave the legislators the authority to establish the health care exchange. This bill does nothing else. It doesn't change anything that's in current law. And we do have an exchange. We have components of an exchange already in place. This bill doesn't change any of that. It just changes that, actually just establishes that we will be the ones to make the exchange operational.
Thank you.
I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Are there other proponents? Other proponents? Are there questions for the proponents? Representative Hubble, I do have a question for you. If the exchanges were to come, if that does, how are they funded?
The exchanges are basically funded, and that gives the power. An exchange would give the power of funding to an exchange director, and that would be something that is taking care of taking care of the exchange. It is basically here. If I can read the old bill, it says the exchange may exercise the following powers: set fees and collect fees from participating individuals, participating employer plans. And they also have the authority to contract with the employers. So it would be the director of the exchange who sets the funds.
Then a follow-up question. In order to establish the exchange, you need to have dollars from the state. Is that correct?
I'm not sure. I know that we have federal grants to establish an exchange. Every state was given money for that.
And how are those dollars expended through the state? What's the process for that?
I'm sure it goes, well, some of the money has been expended already, and that was for a task force and bringing people in.
And who gives the approval for those dollars to be expended?
I'm sure the appropriations do.
Okay, thank you. All right, thank you. Any other questions? Thank you. Are there opponents to House Bill 1190? Good morning and welcome.
Morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Well, I rise somewhat reluctantly as an opponent. I think, although we've never had a discussion, Representative Hubbell and I would probably share some similar philosophical views towards the Health Care Reform Act. However, when I take a look at House Bill 1190, there are a few things that I want to reemphasize to this committee. It was indicated that this was a simple bill, and I would probably concur with that. In fact, it's almost so simple that it's unnecessary. The Constitution gives the legislature the power to start, to stop, to suspend, and to continue any programs that occur within the state. In essence, House Bill 1190 is nothing more than a reiteration of the constitutional authority that the legislature already has. But beyond that, the part that I really wanted to emphasize, and this is where ultimately...
I'm just going to stop. It's maybe my age. Did you identify yourself?
I thought I did, but if I didn't, my name is Senator Corey Brown. I represent District 23, and I'm the chairman of the Appropriations Committee.
Thank you, and I'm sorry to interrupt you.
But ultimately, as I think most of you can recognize, where the legislature really maintains its authority in establishing or stopping programs is when we decide to put dollars behind those. It was indicated that the state has expended some federal funds in the past to study the idea of a health care exchange. It was simply an effort to decide whether or not that was the right program for the state. And I would indicate at this time, clearly no decision has been made that that's the right answer for the state. I can say unequivocally that we have no money in the proposed budget this year to try to attempt to establish an exchange. And so given that authority, I really see no need for House Bill 1190 because we already currently have that authority. And if there is ever a decision to come forward with an exchange, be it with state general fund dollars or even if it's federal dollars that were going to be used to establish the exchange, all of those decisions still have to go into our appropriations measures. Even if it's federal funds, we still have to give the authority, appropriate that expenditure authority to the agencies to expend that. And at this point in time, nothing has happened there, and I don't necessarily foresee that happening anytime in the near future. Thank you.
Are there other opponents to 1190? Other opponents? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Dave Hewitt. I'm representing the South Dakota Association of Healthcare Organizations today. I would say that I was a member of the task force, a rather large task force, that the governor's office put together on the health insurance exchange issue this summer. That really shouldn't color my comments one way or the other here, but it certainly did add to my knowledge in terms of what is ahead of this state. Clearly, we believe, as Senator Brown has indicated, that this legislation is unnecessary, that there is an awful lot of information that this state still has to get back from the federal government with respect to the guidelines for establishing a health insurance exchange, if in fact we even have to. And in fact, future legislatures will make that determination. So we view this legislation as unnecessary as well and would urge you to send it to the 41st legislative day. Thank you.
Thank you. Other opponents to House Bill 1190? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Darla Pullman Rogers, and I'm a lawyer here in Pierre. I represent Wellmark Blue Cross Blue Shield. I really do not have a lot to add to what the prior opponents have said. We don't have necessarily real strong feelings about this particular this bill, but we think it is unnecessary. I would also, as a matter of full disclosure, let the committee know that I also served on the Health Insurance Task Force this past summer. But again, just from looking at the bill and the status of our laws, we really don't believe that this is necessary. Thank you.
Thank you. Other opponents to House Bill 1190? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Scott Ziske. I am a registered lobbyist for Regional Health out of Rapid City, and as one of the larger healthcare systems in the state, without repeating the previous testimony, we'd like to go on record as urging your opposition for House Bill 1190. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other opponents? Any other opponents? Would someone like to do the rebuttal? Yes, go ahead, Representative. Welcome back.
I turned it off. Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee.
Just identify yourself again for the audience.
I'm sorry, District 11 Representative. And the prime sponsor of this bill, just as I was coming up, as you saw, suggested that I give you the information that Randy Moses was also on that same committee, and they are not opposing this. And one of the reasons why I think it's good not to oppose this is because the healthcare exchange is the common name of what is kind of like the landing place for PPACA. If you don't have a healthcare exchange, you don't have PPACA, and you do not have the individual mandate. In fact, one of the reasons why the exchange I want to be in legislative control is because you legislators will be the lightning rods if people all of a sudden have to have an individual mandate. I'm saying this because it doesn't have to be called an exchange. It can be called an insurance portal. It could be called a connector. It could be called any other tag word that they want. And this could slip by into appropriations without you knowing about it, your legislatures, and you would be the ones to be the lightning rod if it did hit the news that South Dakota legislatures just allowed free access of PPACA to come into South Dakota. I think it would be to your advantage as legislatures to make sure you knew exactly what was going on and to vote for this bill because, like I said, you guys are going to be the ones that have to explain it to your people. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions from committee members?
Madam Chair.
Senator Holeen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question would be for Senator Brown. Thank you, Senator Brown. My question is I understand where this might be redundant. I guess it would be a two-part question. If it is redundant, if it's just reiterating the Constitution, what would be the harm? And also, is there, should I just pause and let him answer that first? Sorry, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, Senator Ling. I find it ironic because this past year, and I would commend the efforts of the administration, but Governor Dugard initiated what he called a red tape review, where he sent his agencies and staffs to comb through page after page of our code books, trying to find areas to eliminate cumbersome and redundant and repetitive wording throughout our legislative code. So, to be honest with you, if this bill were to pass, I don't necessarily see that there's any harm that's done. I see it as a waste of effort and completely unnecessary. And to clarify one of the points in the rebuttal, I can let Representative Hubble rest assured that it won't slip through the Appropriations Committee.
Thank you. Do you have a follow-up on that?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I solely commend the work of the Appropriations Committee. I was curious, is there another check, not just in appropriations? I mean, I know that it would have to go through appropriations, then go through both houses. I just want to make sure that it's not just appropriations that would have our back on this, because I really don't like the act to the PPACA.
Madam Chair, Senator Helene, my understanding is there are two pieces to this. Number one, if we were ever to establish an exchange in South Dakota, if that were the decision of this state, first of all, there would be an acting legislation that would be required, and I would assume that that type of legislation would most likely either go through our health committees or perhaps state affairs, because it would be a big enough issue to do that. So you have the policy part of that that would have to be enacted, and then as a follow-up to that, there's clearly a funding requirement that is necessary to establish these exchanges. And from my understanding, that's one of the dilemmas that our task force that met over this last year really ran into, as they looked at whether or not an exchange was the right answer for South Dakota. Given our size, our geography, and the demographics of this state, I think they've really struggled to see a cost-benefit that would show that an exchange would necessarily be the right answer for South Dakota.
Thank you. Any other questions? Senator Rampelberg.
Madam Chair, I'd like to ask a question of Senator Lederman, please.
Madam Chair.
Senator, you've kind of heard our discussion here. You know, I guess from my edification, I know we've had some issues in the past with last year with Senate Bill 38 and 43. And I know right now we're kind of waiting for some word from the Supreme Court, possibly in April. I know Lieutenant Governor testified before us earlier in the session about the difficulties of trying to figure out what we really should be doing. So I guess I'm just asking, in your opinion as a proponent, is this something that's going to help us with some of these issues that we're dealing with right now?
Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator Rampelberg. Very good question. You know, I think one of the main things this bill helps us handle is the public perception of the disconnect of the legislature from the actual goings-on behind the scenes. What it does is it puts in our pocket the key to getting something done that is very important to the public, that's very widely known about. I think everybody cares about health care reform. I think it's a bit disingenuous to say that we approve everything because we have to appropriate funds and that nothing's going to happen unless those funds are appropriated and we've got the bank account. Because everybody on this committee understands at the end of the day, when the G bill comes down to the floor, it is a very tough nut to crack. We don't open the G bill and start poking around and questioning smaller funding initiatives or even larger ones, because at that point we've come to an agreement and we've had a bill that's been vetted by the committee, even though it has the input of those members. It's very hard to open it up and change things. So as far as the funding being the key and that is a very good safeguard, I would have to disagree on that. And I think we owe it to our constituents to retain as much authority as we have or can get, because we are a very, I think the branches of government in South Dakota lean heavily towards the governor. I think that we've seen that this year, and even though we believe in what our governor's doing, we should retain as much authority as we can, especially over something as important as this. And I think no matter if you're Democrat or Republican or independent, that healthcare reform is such a big issue that as a legislator, we should tell our people, we want to hold the keys to this. We're going to make the final decision. If there's going to be a healthcare exchange enacted, it will come through the legislative process. So I urge your support of it, and I really appreciate the question. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Senator Krause?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question, too, for you, Senator Lieberman, please. I understood Senator Brown to mention in his testimony that enacting legislation would also be required for the policy. So my understanding is that not only would appropriations review, but also the entire legislature would review, both houses, and the governor would have to sign before a policy could be set into place. So I just question what this bill does in addition to that.
Madam Chair. Thank you so much for the question, Senator Krause. You know, a lot is said in committees. I would say that there's probably millions of words that transfer through these committees each session. Then we go on to the next session and the next session. I would have to argue that a commitment for a bill to get an exchange going in South Dakota would have to go through legislative process. Wouldn't mean anything in 2 years after the next presidential election and after another session comes or goes. And when it comes down to it, we want to guarantee now that there will be a legislative review. And we have the support of the Division of Insurance here. He's listed as a proponent for the bill and has talked with me about maintaining the authority of the legislature before an exchange happens. And I think this is a safeguard that we owe to our constituents to put in place now and not to rely on the hopes of what happens in the next few sessions. Thank you.
Yes, I'd like a follow-up, Senator Brown, please. Good morning, Senator Brown. Would you elaborate in answer to the question I just posed to Senator Lieberman and elaborate a little bit on the policy implications, just to clarify?
Madam Chair, you know, I was sitting in the back trying to think this through. If we were to come 2 years down the road and there was a decision to enact a health care exchange, what I would imagine, Senator Krause, is that you would have your enacting legislation, and then at the bottom of that bill, there would be another section that said delete sections, and basically we would be coming back in to delete 1190, which is put right here. There is no way that I am aware of that a health care exchange could be established in the state of South Dakota without the legislature making a policy decision with enacting legislation, followed along with an appropriate amount of expenditure authority, either through general or federal funds.
Thank you. Any other questions? Senator Holine.
Question for the sponsor? Yeah, either one, actually.
Thank you.
Thank you. My question is, I'm with you 100% in the intent, but I fear redundancies. Redundancies lead to red tape, and I fear that that's what this may be. But I wanted to give you a chance to at least address that concern.
Thank you, and I think I can alleviate some fears here because the Council of State Government, a bipartisan force in our state who our governor belongs to and we belong to, a lot of us do, says that state policymakers are starting to set up health care exchanges. I'll just read from here. It says states must first authorize the exchange through legislation or executive order. Okay, the executive order could be in effect of a policy proclamation also. I'm saying let's not have that in our state. Let's not have it as legislative through legislation or executive order. Let's just make sure that it comes through our state through the legislature. So, yes, this is not redundant. This exchange could come to be without you guys having anything to do about it. It could come through as an executive order.
Go ahead.
But wouldn't it still need to be funded?
Yes. However, it is unlimitedly funded by the federal government. According to section, I think it's the 1131 of the federal government, the exchanges have unlimited funding. And there is a temptation, I would say, to since all that money is coming our way to set these up, that it would be easy and if somebody's trying to balance the budget, just to put in a health care exchange because there's money that follows that. And I'm saying that a lot of times the money that follows that
kind of shackles people. It brings in mandates. And if those mandates are going to come with that money, I want the legislature to be responsible to the people for that.
Anything else? Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, I will close this hearing to public testimony and open it up for discussion and or action.
Madam Chair.
Senator Krause.
Madam Chair, I respectfully move House Bill 1190 to the 41st day.
Is there a second? Did you second it, Senator Bradford? Okay. Moved by Senator Krause, seconded by Senator Bradford to move House Bill 1190 to the 41st day. Comments on that motion?
Yes. Excuse me.
Oh, no, go ahead. It's your turn.
Sorry. That's all right. Well, I'll just briefly say that I feel confident for three reasons, that we already have some assurances in place that this won't happen without oversight, very good oversight. Number one, our appropriation process would have to be abided by. Number two, the legislative process that the policy changes would have to go through both houses of the legislature and have to be signed by the governor. And number three, we had a report, a very excellent report by our lieutenant governor back on January 13th, describing the health insurance exchange work group. And in that report, he very strongly stated that they see no way to implement this act at this time, and they have no inclination to do so. And so I'm sure our lieutenant governor was speaking for the governor as well. So with those three assurances, I just do feel that this 1190 is redundant. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to assure everybody, I think we all know it, but I spent last year on the Appropriations Committee, and I promise you, Senator Brown is not going to let anything go through without him looking at it. I have great confidence in that. Isn't it nice to have a bill in front of us finally that's so innocuous it doesn't really matter which way it goes? I guess here's my feeling on it. As I look at this, there are so many uncertainties out there right now, and I feel the same way as the bill proponents do, is that it's important that the legislature kind of be very involved in this process, because whatever gets set in place is going to be a long-term situation. It's going to take a lot of careful thought. My feeling on it, though, right now is that with the procedures that we have in place to ensure that things don't happen, and I hear what the representative Hubble is saying, is that certainly there are the potential for executive orders, but on the other hand, I really feel that this is of such significance that I really don't think this is going to happen like certain things do at the national level in our state. So I'll be in support of the motion. Thank you.
Well, I would just add, I certainly share the same concerns that Representative Hubble does, but I think in listening to comments by Senator Brown, in the sense that we just went through looking at what's duplication as far as enacting statutes, what's out there, it's already in place. And I think when you have the individuals that were here that provided testimony that were on that health insurance task force, and Senator Krause alluded to the fact that Lieutenant Governor provided an overview, the governor has said he is not implementing or supporting an exchange. So you have all that in play that certainly sets. But the two important pieces are the legislature has the authority to enact, and it has the authority to appropriate. So no matter who's out there, nothing can be done unless those two steps are done. And I believe for this process, it would come back that the legislature would have to do the enacting. And I think, just a sidebar comment here, presence of a department and not speaking does not necessarily indicate supporting for the bill. It just means they're being quiet about it, and we can take it any way that we want. So that's well, I'm just saying, that's fine, but he didn't speak, and that's not testimony that's provided. So I'm just saying that absence or silence does not put plus or minus on there. Well, but we don't enter that into the register or into the minutes of the meeting. It's just what they're speaking on that. So with that, the motion before you is House Bill 1190 to the 41st day. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bradford.
Aye.
Holeen.
No.
Krebs. Rampelberg.
Aye.
Schleckaway. Kraus.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. That concludes our agenda for today, and thank you to all. We are scheduled for next Wednesday because we have holiday and we're off on Friday and holiday on Monday, so the committee will meet on Wednesday. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second? Moved by Senator Kraus, second by Senator Bradford. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We are adjourned.